circles here. See that? Yeah? One's different.
One of these things is not like the others.
One of these things doesn't belong.
Can you tell which thing is not like the others by the time we finish our song?
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin and Obi-Wan discover a traitor within their ranks as they try and liberate the planet of Christophsis. This is the episode that started it all for us. This is the base of me meeting Chris and Scott at Dragon Con to join Two True Freaks and led us to having this podcast. Hi Chris.
Hi, and it's also what led Hope to eventually get her first time machine, but that's a story for another time.
Oh, that is a machine. Very good story. Oh, man. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little thrown off that we're not recording at our normal time.
Yeah, it's in the afternoon, and it's weird because we're doing this because it was it your work schedule that got mixed around or something? Anyway, your schedule got mixed around, so we'd be meeting during the day for a little while.
No, I'm cheating on this podcast with another podcast.
Oh, yeah, well, either way, you know, scheduling,
Only until Once Upon a Time is done.
I'm not greedy with my podcast. I have open podcast relationships with all my podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's only until Once Upon a Time goes to hiatus again.
Well, the great coincidence with that is the following day at work. Somebody's leaving our employment and
getting fired.
They in case on the off one in a billion chance that they're listening, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, even though this is like
they'll come out like 11 weeks later. And they'll be like, oh, Chris knew.
So I was asked to fill in hours on Monday nights. And I was like, yeah, I can do it. And then I was like, oh, man, I got a podcast on my... And then I was like, wait, no, we're doing it in the afternoon now for a little while. And I was like, yes, I can do it. So our schedules aligned somehow on this alternative. So
hey, like my mama always said, better be lucky than good any day.
Yeah, and we're both stuck with it. And hey, it's working for me. I've had time to be awake enough and get enough sugar and caffeine in me to make somewhat sense.
Yeah, for me, I like it because I have sense actual natural sunlight to cross stitch by as I talk to you. So, because I'm an old lady. So, do you want to get into the
cross stitching? Does it affect your rheumatism and your arthritis while you're doing it?
No. Okay. Though
you're probably drinking tea too.
Does Powerade count?
Oh, okay, Powerade for now. But I just picture you cross stitching with tea.
I do love tea, and I drink tea a lot.
With one of those little granny hats, you know.
So shout out to Adagio tea because Adagio is my favorite. So yeah, but I'm cross stitching a present, so I'm trying to. I've been like working on it like 3 hours a day every day, so this is my time to work on my presents.
My favorite tea is, I don't even care what brand it is, English or Irish breakfast.
Mine is, I might be biased because I made it with my friend, but Adagio. Adagio is a great website where you can make fandom blends. So you could literally drink like Star Wars teas or Hobbit teas or BBC Sherlock teas or Disney teas. And so me and my friend Anthony work together and we make Once Upon a Time teas together. And if you heard the episode Rookies, because I reheard and I didn't realize how much I talked about Michael Sarka, I made Will Scarlet tea, which is kind of my favorite.
When I think of Hobbit tea, I just think of like a Hobbit like soaking his feet, big hairy feet, in some hot water.
Oh, my buddy
some
Cara.
Hobbit tea.
My buddy Cara has these great Hobbit teas, but I miss the original blend because the original blend was made with sweet potato. So when you drink it, it kind of tasted like a sweet potato pie. Well, but they don't carry that anymore.
Interesting. I like.
Anyway, the hidden enemy. I know you're on a time frame, so Hidden Enemy?
Hidden Enemy, it is.
All right. So, The Hidden Enemy is the 16th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. It aired on February 6, 2009. It was written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Stuart Lee. And just some extra information about this episode. This one falls chronologically between the Season 2 episode Cat and Mouse and the Clone Wars movies. And I'm going to make a point about that later, which is why I noted it. The script originally dictated that the start of the episode involved the clones setting up a combat droid named the Beast, similar in design to a dome-shaped mining droid seen in A New Hope. However, to keep the war defined as clones versus droids and not clones using droids versus droids, and since the sequence didn't even have an explanation of the use, it was cut. And as well through the music of this episode, much of the background music consisted of the edited version of the Battle of Christophsis from the Clone Wars film track. Additionally, music for the brawl between Rex, Cody, and Slick is a variation of the speeder chase music from Attack of the Clones. Sorry. This new time my voice isn't, like, warmed up.
Me.
To sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark dock, in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock from a peeping, chippy chopper from a big black block.
Wow.
I, like, choked on Powerade as I was doing that. As always, we start our episodes with our words of wisdom, and this has to be probably my new favorite one, in a terrible, sexy Yoda voice.
Truth enlightens the mind, but won't always bring happiness to your heart in bed. Oh, don't sexy Yoda know it.
That's what happens when sexy Yoda drops his pants. We see the truth. And it's enlightening, but it doesn't happy our heart.
Yoda wants you to know there is no problem with Yoda's hands.
Yoda's... Oh, man. Yesterday at work
are just fine how Yoda's hands are. Believe it, you can.
Oh, man. Just so you know, Chris, at work yesterday, we totally made severed Donald Trump heads.
I saw the pictures on Facebook.
Yeah. And it was put on a little Captain America, because if he's elected, it's the death of America, so that's great.
By the time this episode comes out, he may be Supreme Leader, so...
Yeah.
I, for one, favor the Supreme Leader. Please don't take our podcast off the air. It's a classy podcast.
We are the classiest podcast on around.
Not... Yes. That was a conversation we were having last night. We were talking about putting a blog up on Two True Freaks, and I was making sure that it's going to be the classiest blog ever to blog the blogdom. Anyway.
So, act one?
Oh, yes. I'm ready to go into this one.
Me too. I love this episode.
Yeah.
The planet of Christophsis is under siege from the Separatists. Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi are sent to defend it. They're stationed in two separate towers waiting for the droids to come. As the Separatist army moves in, they separate their armies and bring tanks, unlike what the Republic's intel said that they would. Suddenly, the droids appear in Kenobi's tower, springing a surprise attack. Anakin calls an evacuation ship in the South Tower, but Rex points out that they're in the North Tower. Anakin blows out the windows, and his men zipline across to the South Tower to join Obi-Wan. They race up to the roof where the ship meets them. One clone rips off the head of a tactical droid, and they escape and takes it with them. Back at their base, Rex and Cody, with R2-D2, analyze the tactical droid as Obi-Wan and Anakin join them. They realize that someone must have infiltrated their ranks, or have a spy in the army. Obi-Wan and Anakin are going to go behind enemy lines to see who's getting the information, with Rex and Cody are going to investigate who the spy is. After the Jedi leave, Cody realizes a comm link was left on. Rex spots someone running away down the hallway. They split up to chase him down, but round the corner to meet each other again. Entering the only room there, the mess hall, they realize the only person in there are clones. The spy is one of their brothers.
I forgot that this one was the Christophsis one, but as soon as they did such a good job of the visual look of Christophsis. It's like the first shot, I'm like, oh yes,
yeah.
That's right. Now here we are circling back to the beginning of with the movie. I like this better than the movie, actually. This story.
I like this better than the movie, too.
They couldn't have used it, like, for... My first thought was like, man, maybe they should have used this storyline. But it's a little too far in, like... It's far enough into the show where we're starting to know the clones and be like, oh, a traitor clone, you know, that's a... But to introduce that idea in the movie, I think, would have been too soon. It would have been too complicated a storyline. So, but I love the look of Christophsis. It's weird. It's like, it wouldn't seem very Star Wars because it's like office buildings.
and it's all made of crystal. And I think they have an oligarchy, I think. Is that what it's called? An oligarchy when you're run by a business and the people who make the most money run the government? Yeah, they have an oligarchy.
Okay, so that's why their whole city looks like offices. Okay.
And the only reason I know that is because I have a Star Wars role play with a friend and my character is from Christophsis, so I read all about it.
Oh, okay.
Yay, fandom. Come on, Chris.
Learning something new about a place that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know more about fictional places in Star Wars than I do our actual world. Except for World War II. I know.
Well, now you know what an oligarchy is, though. So
what?
Now you know what an oligarchy is. So.
Well, I knew that from school. I went to college.
Right, right.
What do you think about the chronologicalness of where this falls? So you think it does do better further back?
It does. It does further back in this season because now we're starting to know the clones. You know, so there's a little more skin in the game of having a traitor amongst the ranks. You know, whereas before it would have been like, oh, it's a clone traitor, whatever. You know, it wouldn't have mattered who it was or anything like that. But this one, we're starting, and I mean, it doesn't, like, we don't know that clone really well in this one. But we know the other clones, so there's a couple of clones that's like, oh, could it be Rex, you know, or whatever. Could it be someone we know? Or there's just a little more skin in the game at this point, so it's a better story this far in. If I was one of those people that had to have stuff in chronological order, I guess this would be driving me up the wall, but it works okay.
Because I don't know about this, too, because since this episode falls before the events of Rookies, it's almost like a kind of a take of, like, nature versus nurture, in a way. Because if the airing order and the chronological order brings up two different developments for Rex and Cody, with Rookies airing first, we already see that they're free-thinking, which on their own, which leads them to the hint of, I cannot talk this morning. I'm still waking up. I'm so sorry. With Rookies coming first, we see that they're free thinking and that they can do this in doing well. But if you watch it in chronological order, with the hidden enemy coming first, this is a development that could lead them to acting the way they do in Rookies. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah, it does.
One shows them, like, naturally having these abilities to be free thinking, but the other one shows that these events affect them thinking that way in Rookies.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just always thought that was kind of interesting.
I love how they try to tap into the droid's head.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, why didn't they make just a big magnet weapon to deal with droids? Just fly over them with a big ship with a magnet on the bottom of it and just go...
I wonder if the weight would drag down the ship or if it would allow...
Well, you would make a powerful ship to deal with it or whatever...
Well, we do know from Dooku that this is a war and it's expensive.
Yes,
so
that's true.
They would have to probably do something for that.
Not everybody can build a Death Star.
Did you feel that the animation took a step back? I totally did.
It might have been in production earlier.
Well, that's the thing. Its production number is episode 201, which means it was starting to get made with the season 2 badge.
Huh.
So that was the only thing. Like, there's that one scene where they walk into the mess hall, and that is like a malevolence arc. Yeah. Like, heads turning side to side, eyes not moving. Like, it just looked really off.
It might have had something to do, maybe, with there being so many characters in there, you know, human characters. Like, it's easy, you can animate a whole bunch of droids because they're all doing the exact same thing and they can all be a little herky-jerky. But when you have a whole mess hall full of people, you know, trying to look casual, it's probably a lot more... that was probably a lot more work on that shot than like two people talking to each other, you know, or walking down a hallway or something. So it might have been just a budgetary thing that they couldn't spend as much time getting that scene to look as smooth. But it was kind of awkward. And like I noticed,
some scenes were worse than others. Like that scene in the mess hall was worse. But later on in the series, like in the episodes, like when they're actually interrogating like Slick and Chopper and stuff like that, that was done a lot better. So I wonder if it was just like different things done at different times with different technology.
Sure. Or different. I mean, it's. I don't know the production method that they use to make an episode of say Clone Wars or Rebels or something like that, or if it's the same or different for the two of them. But I mean, you could very much have seen, you know, a whole bunch of different scenes made by different smaller animation teams.
Yeah.
You know, one team might have been short a worker that week, or they might just not. They might be like the C grade team compared to the guys who are working on the, you know, the main battles and stuff. You know, there might be some people who are better and they get to do the really fun, complicated ones. Whereas like, B group, you guys work on the mess hall scene. And I noticed the mess hall itself was kind of didn't have a lot of detail to it. It was a big white space, you know.
Yeah, but in like the clone barracks, they have I mentioned this later, but they have like pinup girls in the background and stuff. So
yeah, they definitely have. There's sprinkled throughout this show. There's always just touches to show the personalities of the clones. Mm-hmm. It's almost like one of the themes that they thought, you know, of when they came up with this show. It seems to be like one of the running themes since they introduced it right out of the get-go, the first episode.
So in one of the episodes that was kind of half made, I think it's Bad Batch actually, and that, you know, was released in the second half of what would have been season 6, like the second half of it. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where Anakin and Rex go outside to an airship, and the clones have painted a pinup version of Padme on the side of it.
Uh-oh.
And Anakin is like, "What is that?" And they're like, and one of the clones is like, "This is our senator. I'd fight for her any day." He just like looks at Rex, and Rex is like, "I'll take care of it."
I'll bet he'll take care of it.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I can't wait to see Bad Batch. It's going to be great. So, yeah, the only other 2 points I had is I love that we're at a point where Obi-Wan and Anakin can trust Rex and Cody with such an important mission.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the beginning of a series-long paradigm shift in Rex as he progresses more and more into a free-thinking clone.
Free-thinking, whereas he could decide to marry a certain Hope Mullinex or something like that.
Yeah, we'll have our babies and they'll be 100x100 gift sets. Oh, Chris, girl, I made the best joke the other day. It was a joke that I was like running around and like I was so surprised with myself because I'm like not clever when I talk and stuff like that, and it just came out. And the moment I did, I was just like, oh, self high five. So I was talking to a guy, and I was wearing my Captain Rex earrings at work. And he was like, oh, who's that? I'm like, oh, it's Captain Rex. He's Anakin Skywalker's right-hand man since Anakin got his hand cut off.
Oh!
I felt so smart, Chris. I laughed so hard at myself.
Wow. You know, Hope, I think that joke's very cruel to amputees.
I know! I'm so sorry, amputees.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, don't do that! Don't do that to me! Don't you do that to me, Chris! Don't you dare make me feel bad about myself, because you know I have a very delicate feeling bad about myselfness.
It's a good joke, Hope. It was a great joke.
Thank you. Oh, no, I'm so I'm so proud of myself.
It was a wonderful joke, he says, staring at the stump of his arm, at the end of his arm.
Oh, no. You're the devil. You're an asshole. I feel so bad now. Oh,
have you no sympathy for Bruce Campbell's character in Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Like,
what about
up.
Rick in Walking Dead? You gonna start making hand jokes about him?
And
the
what
comic,
about
not the TV?
What about Killian in Once Upon a Time?
You gonna make keep an eye out jokes with Carl now from Walking Dead?
I don't know because I don't watch Walking Dead.
Oh, Carl only has one eye.
I figure. So they all lose body parts at some point.
You gonna make jokes about Carl not being able to watch 3D movies anymore?
my god, you're the worst. I love you to pieces, my friend. Oh, but you're the goddamn worst. Shut up.
I have a friend with an actual one eye and an eye patch, and I always used to be like, hey, the new movie showed at 3D. You want? Oh, right. Hey, I got this new 3D combo. Oh, jeez. Well, I guess it's just going to be red for you.
Oh, no. Oh, I guess we should probably move on.
Actually, it was blue.
Oh, he only could see the blues.
Yeah, well, he was blue because he couldn't see it in 3D. See, that was a bad joke, Hope.
See, we told you guys we were the classiest Star Wars podcast on the iTunes.
You're not, yeah, we're so classy, you're not going to believe it.
Classy. Yeah, so classy. We're seriously only joking out of love, guys. Please don't send us hate mail.
Yeah.
So, oh, I forgot to
I'll
check
to see. I'll take hate mail. I don't care.
I send it all to Chris because I am delicate. I'm a big talker, but I easily feel bad about myself. So please send it all to Chris. As long as it's constructive. I don't mind if it's constructive criticism. I can take constructive criticism, but if it's something like, you're dumb, I'd be like, I know, I'm dumb.
Hope Mullenix smells like poop, and she eats poop. I have it on good authority.
Well, you know, every once in a while, a good scat porn. I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding. We should move on to act 2.
Anyway. Man, why is it not? I got to get my caffeine in me. Why is it not me that's the one bringing up scat porn?
I don't know, but I'm just early afternoon. So, act two.
That's going to be the name of my autobiography, by the way.
Why is it me?
Scat porn early afternoon, a memoir by Chris Honeywell.
Oh my god! That'd be the best title. Why isn't it me bringing up scat porn? That's the title of your book, Chris. Oh my god.
I always thought scat porn was about a singing style. I don't know. I haven't Googled it yet, so I don't know.
When I was much more like younger, I totally thought it was you know how like you tell cats like scat cat? I thought it was a cat thing.
Yeah. Well,
and so I was like in my head I was just like, oh, this must be with like anime or like furries and stuff. So I clicked on it, I was like, yeah, and I was like, oh god.
A quick funny story. That starts out horrible. A good friend of mine who was a musician died in his bathtub, had a heart attack and died and was revived, but was in a coma and came out and, you know, with brain damage, he's since recovered almost 100%. He's almost actually a little better than he was just before, but it's been a long road. But he was in a hospital bed, you know, barely able to form words. And we went to visit him, and he was, I'm sure, highly medicated. And, you know, you're at somebody's bedside, and the nurse is there, and the nurse is sort of this really friendly older woman, and she's fluffing his pillows and stuff. And we were talking to him, and she goes, oh, well, I hear Mark's a musician. And we're like, yeah, he's a musician. She goes, I love music. I love scat. I'm just a big scat fan. And you can see him in the bed, and the smile just comes onto his face and goes, you like scat? And I look over at my roommate, and we had one of those sort of like, he's going to be all right moments. I think he's going to be just fine. Anyway.
I told you guys, we were the classiest Star Wars podcast around.
All right. Back to Christophsis.
We definitely just lost 12 listeners.
But gained about 10,000. But do we want them?
I don't know.
I know the hair metal hero is still hanging in there.
Love you, Chris. Other Chris, the 12 million Chris's we have on shows. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Act 2. Rex and Cody try to contact the generals, but their communications are being jammed. Oh, by the way, just as I'm saying Act 2, I split this between Rex and Cody stuff and then Anakin and Obi-Wan stuff, because they kept, like, crossing back and forth.
Back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, so I separated them in this, so. R2-D2 finds a pattern in the communication frequencies. Messages were sent out irregularly during moments of weak frequencies that wouldn't be noticed day-to-day. It's coming from Sergeant Slick's barracks. Looks upset at the accusations that one of his men would be a traitor. The men return on Rex's orders. Cody and Rex begin interrogating the men. Each clone gives their alibi about why they're not traitors. They reach the final clone named Chopper, who lies about where he was in the mess hall. He quickly gets caught in the lie. Chopper finally admits that he went back to the South Tower to collect battle droid fingers, which is an illegal protocol. He wanted something back from all that he's lost. His brothers start to turn on him, and Flick adds that it doesn't look good. Chopper realizes that they're accusing him of being the traitor and vehemently denies it. Slick says that Chopper will get a proper trial when the Jedi get back. Cody asks Slick how he knew that the Jedi were gone in the first place. Punching out Cody, Slick takes off down the barracks. On the other side of things, Obi-Wan and Anakin ride into Separatist space. They quickly realize it's a trap since none of the droids that they pass are shooting at them. Arriving at the Separatist headquarters, there are no guards or anything. Entering the building, Asajj Ventress is waiting for them. She starts the fight with the Jedi. I like rookies, and don't get me wrong, I love Ventress. I fucking love her to death. But I just don't feel like we need all these, like, middle scenes with her. The Jedi could have left and then, like, came back and just had the entire episode with, like, that middle section with Rex and Cody.
It's a very nice, colorful, good lightsaber battle.
And I will say with pacing, it helps, like, the action. Yeah. Because if it's just them trying to figure out, like, Slick and just a lot of talking, I can see where a kid, you know, this is still a kid show, a kid would get bored with that. But as an adult watching this, I'm just like...
Well, she was also a distraction. So it is, yeah. it's pointless, but it's pointless because she's just keeping the Jedi out of action while the infiltrator does his damage. So
Though I will totally say I love when Obi-Wan and Ventress are together because it's sass level to the max.
Oh, yeah. Although this is before, I guess, technically, that last battle that we had with Obi-Wan and Ventress where they were... But she's even a little more, like, getting into the... Like, She's dropping her robe like they do in the movies when they're like, you know, when like the guy comes into the woman's room and she drops her robe and she's standing there naked type of thing. This whole shot is set up like that and it's all totally double entendre.
Yeah, and like the point about like where he's like stroking his beard and like checking her out.
Yes.
I was just like, Obi-Wan, you're going to get some, but you don't want that crazy.
One of my questions with this is, with the clones, is why don't they just check the security cameras? They could have solved the whole thing by the security cameras and see who walked in the mess hall at, you know, when they were chasing them.
Nobody uses logic in television shows. Are you kidding me?
I
have that question constantly when I watch shows like... Like, for example, I was watching Once Upon a Time, and they've used security cameras in the past to catch bad guys, but a guy is murdered in their jail cells, and they're like, I wonder who the murderer is.
Yeah.
Let's go throw a party. And I'm just like, you fucking fuck fucks. You dumb fucks. Go check the security cameras and see that it's King Arthur, and he murdered a dude in the... Spoilers for season 5. But I was just like, come on, you stupid fucks.
Everybody could see it was King Arthur.
It was King Arthur! He murdered a guy! And I'm sitting here going, you used the cameras in season 4. Why are you not doing this again? You would just save it. Oh my god. Anyway, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can't apply logic to like television shows because then it actually takes away from the drama.
Yeah, I know.
I know. People can't be as smart as us, Chris.
This was just the classic, you know, there's a traitor among us scene where you see everybody, you know, goes to each person's face. Yeah. I like it when Clone Wars is going to start doing this more often where they have to a smaller extent so far, but as it goes along, they like pull whole chunks from other movie genres and will do their own take on it. And I love that it started becoming a thing, you know, till we got, you know, eventually we even get a Godzilla movie. So
yeah, I think Bounty Hunters is my favorite when they give a nod to is it Kurosawa movies? I think that's what it is.
It's just classic that who's the guy that they don't trust at first? Scar-faced guy.
Yeah.
And it turns out Scar-faced guy is a little twisted, you know.
Yeah.
Although having droid fingers, I don't know. They were all just like, you know, how could you do that? And it's like and
okay,
it's a Vietnam reference. It's definitely a reference to Vietnam. Well, I mean, people take trophies from the bodies of their victims, you know, the other troops in all wars, I guess. But in Vietnam, you know, people used to cut ears off and take them as trophies and stuff. And you'd get in a lot of trouble if you got caught with something like that. But people did it. So
yeah, because if you think about it, like, collecting droid fingers is one thing, but if you imagine if they were fighting real people, that's him cutting off people's body parts right. and keeping them. That's really unnerving.
Well, that's why when I saw it, I was like, oh, you know, I get what they're referencing, and they're also showing that, you know, what the morality within the clone. But I don't know, collecting droid fingers and collecting, you know, living creature fingers are two different things, you know. It just does. It seems like the other troops might have been just like rolled their eyes a little bit, but you know, you're not supposed to do that. But I don't see why it would be that big a deal, you know.
Yeah.
So you're not desecrating the droids' bodies. I'm sure they go to a scrapyard, you know.
Yeah. Though I do have to, like, I do want to talk about Chopper for a second, because I just had, for one, I like that we have a Chopper in Star Wars Rebels, and he's a little murder bot. He's a little asshole murder bot, so I kind of feel like this is a preamble to that. But that entire scene, I just want to talk about how Chopper's, like all the other clones said, that he's deficient when he admits that. Like, you call, like, a computer or an object deficient. And it's right. really telling that they're viewing each other as things that either work or they don't work.
It's kind of how they're seeing
themselves.
It kind of refers to their cloneness, but it's also, that's also like, you know, that I think that goes along with, you know, a military mind, you know, a military mindset, but especially within a group of, you know, the equivalent of Marines, you know, where they're a bonded group that's fought together. And all that. They think like a machine. They're all parts of a machine. They train to be parts of a machine.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm wondering if... Oh, the reason I want to bring this up... Okay, I'm going to talk about this.
Okay.
I mentioned this in the third act. And there's a fantastic webcomic I've been reading called Star Wars Destinies. And it takes place after season 5. So Chris, you can't read it yet.
Okay.
And it follows the story of Slick from this episode, Ahsoka, and a clone introduced in season 4 named Dogma. And to not give too much away from it, Ahsoka goes to Slick and Dogma for a particular reason, and she needs their help with something. But Slick still hates the Jedi. Dogma wants a second chance, and Ahsoka's just trying to keep them all together. But one of the opening scenes is she goes to Kamino. And Ahsoka's looking at all the quote-unquote, like, deficient clones that are being kept there. And some of them are just, like, they were just burned and mauled in battle. So they keep them in jail because they're just going to ruin the whole bit. And it's really incredibly telling about, like, how Kamino sees the clones and how, like, people see the clones and stuff like that. Because being deficient means that you're not, like, that standard clone. Like, not like a Rex and a Cody clone. Like, you're free-thinking clones. And, so Slick is being kept in this jail cell on Kamino, and that's where he is because he was quote unquote deficient. And in the webcomic, if after they run tests to see why you're deficient, they destroy you. They just kill you because they don't need those deficient clones anymore. It's a really sad opening scene in this awesome, awesome, awesome webcomic. But I highly suggest it. It shows both clones and Jedi having PTSD. And, like, struggling about, like, what a clone does and when they don't have direction and what does life mean when they're not soldiers. And it's super good. It comes out every Tuesday and Thursday. You have to check it out. It's I'll post a link in the show notes. But it's a fantastic comic. And I'm so excited that it's coming. It's been on hiatus and it's coming back tomorrow. And I'm so excited!
A fantastic comic that I can't read.
Yeah, that you can't read until season 5.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's something to look forward to.
So that's like actually what I thought about when they said that Chopper was deficient, because I had a flashback to this comic. I was just like, oh, yeah. All the poor baby clones being stuck in jail because they got beat up. No. But I don't know. It's just super, super telling. So let's see. Looking at my notes, these guys are such men. If you look in the background of the interrogation scene, they have a ton of pinup posters. I said that already. Here's another great example of how the clones are individual in their looks, and they each do different things and have different missions. Cutting off people's body parts, deficient, and swapping back and forth between the Jedi and the interrogation. Okay, that's all I had for Act 2. Did you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much all I had. I think this is the slowest part of the episode.
No, I will say this is my favorite part of the episode.
The second part or the third part?
The second part's my... Oh, were you talking about the second or the third part?
I'm talking about the second part.
The second part is my favorite, but I will say the pace is much slower.
It does sort of... I don't know if it would hurt the pacing like you were saying in your notes, but it did definitely... This part didn't seem to move as well as the first and third parts.
Yeah, and I was wondering it's because they were jumping back and forth. I kind of feel like if they had, like, one chunk where they did all the interrogation and stuff like that and then had the other chunk where it was just the Jedi and Ventress, I wonder if that would have worked better. Yeah,
they might have been, I don't know, they might have been just, like, unsure whether people would want to watch talking and personal drama in a Clone Wars cartoon, which I don't know. I'm confident that they would. I'm confident that I would, so... I always
have to fall back of what is the demographic they're writing for. At this point, they're still writing for kids.
Yeah, that's.
So we actually get a lot more talky episodes in later seasons, mm-hmm. When it's much more PG-13 kind and stuff like that. But we're still in that early like adventure of the week. Yeah. We're still tailoring to like 10-year-olds watching this. So.
Well, I think this the episode I watched had the original introduction from the it had the actual this show is rated. I think it was. This episode particularly was TV-5, I want to say.
What?
Or something like that. So
that's a very heavy thing for a five-year-old
and up. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah. So Act 3?
I'm ready.
Rex and Cody follow Slick out to the landing platform where many of their airships and AT-TEs are stored. They follow the signal, but it leads to a detonator. Slick blows up many of the heavy weapons. Rex realizes that Slick isn't trying to escape. Some of the other men say that Slick ran to the communication center. Busting in, Cody and Rex don't see Slick anywhere. He's hiding in the vents watching them. Making a ruse, I don't know why I capitalized ruse. It's a ruse!
It's not just a ruse, it's a ruse with a capital R. It was a good ruse, by the way.
Making a ruse, Cody put his gun down while Rex pretends to leave. Slick takes Cody's gun, but Cody has taken out the ammo already. Cornered, Slick fights the men. Slick screams that the clones are blindly following orders, but for what? Dying in a battlefield? Slick claims that Ventress gave him something better than money. Freedom! Cody knocks out Slick. Asajj continues fighting the Jedi, leading them to the top of the headquarters. Anakin realizes they need to get back to base now. She leads them outside, where her entire battalion is waiting for them. The Jedi grab two airspeeders and race off. Ventress's job of distracting the Jedi is complete. We get a nice cameo from General Lothstone from the Clone Wars movie, which is what we talked about in the very first episode of Jedi and Jedi!
Yes.
Anyway, Anakin and Obi-Wan arrive as they're taking Slick into custody. Slick says that the Jedi keeps his brothers enslaved. He loves his brothers, and he did it to gain something more for them. Slick is taken away to lockup. The fight goes on to be picked up in the Clone Wars movies. So my baby Rex, he got his hip dislocated,
yeah.
And he still gets up and fights. Oh, my baby.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. That was pretty nasty, yeah.
And you have that, like, bone sound, just like, oh, my baby. I love you, baby. So what'd you think of Act 3?
I like this act. I like General Lothstone. That's also one of my notes. It's like, yay, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like once, the ruse was... I like that, the whole ruse scene. I think you should have capitalized it. I thought that was a great... It might not have flown like in an adult movie, but it's a perfect introduction to kids to the, like, okay, we know what's going on, double cross sort of thing. It's just a great scene. I like how he's like, all right, I'm leaving the room now.
And then he just like crouches down.
Yeah. It's great. I love, there was one shot and this was one of the better animated ones, and it might not have been like high quality animation, but the way they pulled it off was when Slick was finally exposed, they just did a little tracking shot over all the other clones' clone's face as they, you know, and he runs off and they chase after, and there's just this look of them with, and they look baffled. I mean, it was great CGI acting. It was just that they were all like, what the hell is going on right now? And
yeah,
it was very well done. It was very well done. Very, very good faces on them.
Once again, Dee Bradley Baker totally kills it doing the voice of the clones.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Slick and all this, because this is what got us started with my long journey of joining Two True Freaks and all of this. And yeah. Because Scott Garner, our friend Scott Garner, who helped form Two True Freaks with Chris, asked a panel at Dragon Con, which was when we heard the movie title Attack of the Clones, who thought the clones would be fighting with the good guys. And I think is a very good question to ask. And the reason why I'm asking this is because, you know, the clones are being used by the Republic. In a way, they're kind of slaves. They're made, they're programmed, they're produced to die and fight for the Republic. And there's no chance for them to have a normal life, like, ever. We've seen that, we've talked about it before, that they're all 10-year-olds and 20-year-olds' bodies, and they're fighting a war that they didn't even start. And that is so incredibly sad. I mean, it makes the Jedi really, truly look like bad guys in the long run.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that was purposeful on George Lucas's part.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about it also with the Emperor, I mean, like, he has set it up for the Jedi to fall by episode 3. And we see over the course of Clone Wars that people start mistrusting the Jedi. Like, that is, like, one of the long story arcs that as the war draws on, people start distrusting the Jedi.
Well, I think, and with good reason, too, you know? And, yeah. And I think George Lucas purposely set out to show that the fall of the Jedi, and that the fall of the Jedi wasn't completely because of the Sith, of, you know, a Sith Lord. It was partially because of the Jedi losing their way and getting, you know, I mean.
Did you see the new Star Wars Rebels?
No, I haven't. I'm still like 3 or 4 episodes behind.
Oh, man.
Why am I speaking what?
You're pretty much talking from Yoda's mouth right now.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't the first time I've had this conversation probably recorded with Scott Gardner dozens of times. You know, and all my friends, we had it on the way out of episode 1. My friend Mark Martin and I had this conversation of like, the Jedi have, you know, the Jedi are a religion. You know, even though they're called Jedi Knights, I mean, it's if not a religion, a philosophy, it's in the Eastern religion sort of, you know, direction. And you know, when you see Obi-Wan and Star Wars, they seem not like pacifists, but they seem peaceful. You know,
are you talking original trilogy Obi-Wan?
Yes.
Okay, good, continue.
Yes, yes.
Obi-Wan, you were
yes,
talking about.
But I think that can. I think that's. I think that's the same with. I think Obi-Wan in and Qui-Gon in the prequel trilogies are sort of throwback Jedi's. Mm-hmm. They're a little more of the. Obi-Wan has that laid back, you know, just sort of working with the Force thing, and he got that from Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon was also one like, the rules, you know. And I think the Jedi had evolved into this structure where they're like an organized religion, you know. After a while, you set it up out of necessity because you have to get your Jedi stuff done. But after a while, what's that?
Do you remember not the current Pope Francis, but the Pope before and all the Pope Palpatine jokes?
The guy who looked well because he just looked like Palpatine. Yes.
Yeah, he looked just like Darth Sidious, but continue.
But it was one of those things where, okay, you get your hierarchy set up to get things done, then several generations start going by, and you start getting politics involved, and then they start getting involved in the politics of, you know, the general galaxy, which are never going to be morally black or white, or, you know, there's always going to be sketchy stuff, and the Jedi went in the direction to where they might not have been working for the right, you know, even if the Jedi were working for the right side, they might not have been doing it, you know, they might have been better served not doing it as warriors, you know, or whatever. But by the time all this is taking place in Clone Wars and the prequels, the Jedi have become partially a bureaucracy, you know, with really Yoda and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, you know, and Qui-Gon's dead, and probably a few others mixed in there, and a few that we meet in there that are more of the sort of natural style philosophical Jedis. But then you have your, like, wet blanket Windus, who are really, you know, they're really into the structure. You know, he's a company man, sort of, you know, he's a by the books type of guy. And I think the Sith were just able to exploit that and take the Jedi down. The Jedi had made themselves weak by losing touch with the Force in a way. They lost touch with the Force in such a way that they were having trouble being able to figure out what was going on with the Sith, and seeing Anakin right under their nose and Palpatine right under their nose. So I'm also of the wiping out of the Jedi was a part of, you know, the work of the Force in a good way. It was like, we have to clear out the decks.
Yeah.
And
it makes it all more bittersweet when Rex shows up in Rebels.
Well, it's awful for the clones. They just get brought into existence to be, you know, abused in war.
Yeah, I don't think that Slick is wrong. You know, I don't think he's wrong. It's just he's in the wrong place.
He's got a point, but it's still, you know, I mean, he really was given a deal. You know, he took a deal to betray it. You know, he cost the lives of his brothers, probably. I mean, in those explosions, someone had to die.
I mean, but what would have happened if he, instead of, like, Ventress getting to him, if he would have went to, like, you know, Obi-Wan or Windu or something, was like, you know, like, I don't want to fight in this war, you know, I don't want to do this. I what would have done? They probably would have court-martialed him and threw him in jail.
It depends. If he went to Obi-Wan, I think Obi-Wan would be like, look, you know, give him a pep talk or something like that. But yeah, if he said it to the wrong person, he might end up, you know, he could probably definitely say it to Anakin and get an amen, you know.
Because we see Cut Laquane in season 2, and he's a clone deserter, and he's made a new life for himself. And so, like, I think Cut was lucky because he was able to escape. But I think if Slick would have just, you know, went to a Jedi and talked about it, he would have been he would have put in a bad position.
I think a deserter has a much more moral high ground than you know, somebody who. Not only he didn't just betray him, he set bombs. You know, he blew stuff up. So,
like, Cut and Slick are like two different sides of the spectrum. Like, I think Cut did it the best way because he didn't bring upon, like, the death of his brothers. While on the other end of the spectrum, Slick was like an extremist, and he was like, "I'm gonna try and get these Jedi's killed, but my brothers, I'm gonna have to be okay with my brothers getting caught in the crossfire."
Yeah, and at the same time, he's sort of joining up with the, you know, whatever Ventress offering him freedom. He's probably just gonna end up becoming a tool of Ventress's from that point on, you know.
Yeah.
So he was probably going from one form of slavery to another form of slavery.
Yeah.
Either way.
I just love that because of all this, we get to see Rex and Rebels because he's had a chance to have a free life for a while now, and he got to do whatever he wants, and he kind of finally got that freedom that Slick wanted for all of his brothers. But it makes me wonder, like, how much in Rebels does older Rex think about Slick, like, realizing that this is the right life that Slick wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder how often Rex goes back and think about that.
I bet you all the time.
Yeah, because, like, that's what they were all kind of got, and we know from what Dave Filoni says that the clones pretty much went into the Empire and stuff like that. And a very few of them, you know, didn't. And Rex and Wolf and Gregor was some of those. I need to find, like, some more clarifications because, like, the clones were deactivated when they started the Empire. But a lot of them started teaching in the Imperial Academies to teach stormtroopers. So they're still working under the Imperials. But I don't know if... We don't know if Rex and Gregor and Cody did that because they're on the Empire's radar. And, like, they know who Wolf is when Wolf calls Agent Callus.
Right.
So I don't know, but I wonder if I often wonder how often older Rex thinks about Slick and if that's really what he wanted for his brothers.
You know what the saddest sound in the entire world is?
I feel like you're about to make a joke. What?
Sort of. It's the way those flat-headed tactical robots talk. their voices always sound so sad and resigned and flat. They have that flat sound, that roar flat sound.
Oh yeah.
But it just sounds like somebody who's so seriously depressed that they get that flat affect. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And everything they say just is sort of like, okay.
It sounds like my coworker.
Yeah, it tugs at my heartstrings, man.
But the only other thing is, I kind of want to talk about Cody for a second too in these moments, because Cody goes through a lot of the same experiences that Rex does. Like, they both went through this together. They both go through Rookies, but unlike Rex, as we see in Rookies, which is, you know, chronologically later, Cody doesn't change as fast as Rex. You know, which is, to me, why it's more plausible that Cody goes through with Order 66 and Rex doesn't. And we actually see that Rex has more experiences to shape his character while Cody just continues to follow orders. Mm-hmm. I started noticing, like, in later seasons, Rex, it goes from being Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka going on adventures to Anakin, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Rex. Like, Rex goes on a lot of missions just by himself with the three of them. And I started thinking, like, Obi-Wan starts using Rex more than Cody. You know, if it's a big battle, Obi-Wan will have Cody there. But if it's something that's small, like the escape from Kadavo, or when they go to Onderon to teach them how to, yeah, you know, to help, like, Stella.
He's more like one of the crew.
Yeah. Squad goals. Squad goals. And so, like, I wonder if that kind of actually helped shape it a little bit, too. That fact that...
Sure.
That, you know, Obi-Wan started using Rex over Cody. And it makes me wonder, like, what does Cody think about this in the long run, you know? Like,
he's
this captain who is lower ranked than him and going off with his general.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a little jealous. Jealous enough to take some hot shots at Obi-Wan.
Or does he even care? Because he is more by the books, and it's like, oh, it's a mission, opposed to Rex, where I feel like you'd be like, if Anakin ran off with Cody, I bet Rex would be like, but that's my general. But I feel like Cody would be like, oh, it's for the mission.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I just... Cody, don't shoot Obi-Wan.
It's too late. Happened a long time ago.
So, did you have anything else for the third part?
Nope, that's all my notes.
That's all my notes, too. Oh my gosh, I'm being attacked by a stitch. Get out of there. Okay. So, what were your final thoughts on the episode?
I really like this episode. It's funny because my thoughts on Clone Wars originally and now are, I love that it's like the battles of the Clone Wars and stuff like that. But, and it could have been just that and left it that and still been an appealing series. But I like that they're trying really hard to build characters and build these stories that shade certain questions that were important questions in the prequels. So they start addressing them, and they're hard questions that, like, probably they would be really hard to address because they seem like maybe mistakes in the prequel or something, like they're trying to fix stuff, but it ends up making total sense. Mm-hmm. And this episode is one of the strong first, you know, they've been taking little shots at humanizing the clones. This is the first full one where the real, you know, the meat of the whole story is about the clones and about their characters. And it's one of my favorites.
I think this would be a good episode. And I'm saying this only just so when you go back and edit it, you'll remember this. I think this would be a good one to put in the show notes, the link to the Two True Freaks panel that you guys had at DragonCon, me and Scott met.
Yeah.
Because it's this episode is the reason why we all met.
And I'll probably put the link to it also when I post it on Facebook so people can...
You can actually link it to where it starts up, like, right at my question, too.
Oh.
Yeah. If you go to share...
Although people should listen to the whole panel.
Yeah, but, like, if you want to at least or maybe put in, like, a time signature,
yeah,
that way people... Because this is the episode of why we all met and why I joined Two True Freaks and why we have J-Guys and Jedis to begin with So how would you rate the episode, Chris?
I actually... This is a 9 out of 10.
Nice!
Yeah, for a little of it probably would have been a 10 if it wasn't for the little bit of awkwardness in the middle. But otherwise, I love the look of it. I love the story of it. I love the look of abandoned Kristoffersen City. You know, it's really creepy. It just has a nice feel to it. And I really enjoyed this episode. I enjoy it every time I watch it.
I love this episode. I mean, it's another one of my favorites of the series. It's a very heavy themed episode, and it lays down like multiple building blocks throughout the series. And this has like a little bit of everything. It has like the clones and Jedi fights and Ventress and action and a mystery. I often think like if you're trying to get someone to watch a standalone episode to get them into Clone Wars, I think this would be a good choice because the only thing that you're really missing is Ahsoka, who wasn't chronologically there yet. You know, this is before Clone Wars. So I mean, honestly, this has everything that you need. I will say I am missing Ahsoka a little bit in this episode, but I also feel like she would have added to kind of the cluttering of, you know, it would have cluttered it up a little bit and made it a little bit more like one extra thing we didn't need.
Yeah.
So I also gave it an 18 out of 20, which is a 9 out of 10. So yeah, I freaking love this episode. It's one of my favorites. And Rick's got his hip dislocated. Poor baby. He's gotten beaten up the last few episodes. He got his arm broken with the Lermans. He got a broken arm in the Lermans. He got shot up and he got cold, freaking cold. He went through the frozen arc of, you know, and now he's getting his hip dislocated. Like, he's having a bad few days.
That's how you temper yourself as a clone. He's getting tempered. Oh. He's adding his patina.
Yeah. So, as always, if you want to write us a review on iTunes, we will read it on the show. And please feel free to help rate and review us because it helps people to find the show.
Yeah. And you can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Just hanging around. Just sitting there waiting for anybody to show up. Hi, what are you doing? Hey, come on in. Hey.
He sits by the window of Two True Freaks and stares out into the street, waiting for you as a mailman to show
up. Scaring children and alarming.
Hey, you want to come listen to my podcast, little boy?
I have a hoarder house full of podcasts. They're just stacked up. I had a brother once, but he went looking for a podcast and never came back. And I just stay in the house and I'm eating canned goods.
Puts the podcast on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
But we got all kinds of podcasts here. Star Wars podcasts, Star Trek podcasts, comic book podcasts, horror movie podcasts.
You're gonna like it. And you can find me at What the Fangirl and GeekyGirlExperience.com. Those are two separate websites. I just said them all at once. You can also follow us on Twitter at Jagas and Jedi. And our great friend, it's Gene. Gene runs it. Gene runs our Two True Freaks Twitter as well.
Gene, the podcasting machine.
I thought you were about to say the podcasting queen. You are the podcast queen. Young and sweet with headphones from 17. Anyway, and you can also find me at Hope Molinex. Well, that's all I...
Sorry, Gene.
This was a weird episode. Well, all of our episodes are weird because we're classy.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else, do you?
I do not.
Well, until next time, don't dislocate your hip before next week.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Grandma. Usually you're the one who has to worry doing your cross stitch and sipping your tea and getting up and dislocating your hip. You better have your first alert set up.
I'm doing good. I'm working on Emma Rigby's shirt right now, which is very difficult.
Hope's fallen and she can't get up.
Oh no!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.